The January-February issue. It's a combined issue, listeners, this month. This week we will read the front letter from the editor that's in every issue, and it's called Life at SL. And then a feature story will start on Dolly Parton, who's on the cover of this magazine. All right, are you ready? The cover of the magazine in the background has a car that is like sky blue on the bottom and white roof, and it appears to be an antique car. It's blurred as the backgrounds usually are here on the cover. And behind that, I believe it's some kind of a wooden structure of some sort, a house or barn or wooden, something wooden behind that. In the foreground, sitting atop a bench that has some distressed paint, some paint that's peeling off on the bench, but the color roughly matches the sky blue of the car. It's a bit lighter. And on the front of the bench, it says Dollywood with the logo of Dolly Parton's theme park, of course, Dollywood. And Dolly is sitting with her guitar upon that bench. And she is wearing a blue denim dress that's zippered front, that's got beaded butterflies on it that are red and blue with gold outlines, all beaded on it. She has her typical big smile and big blonde wavy hair and red polished long nails. How she plays this guitar with those nails, I'll never know, but she's holding her guitar across her lap, and she's wearing a red bracelet as well. And the print on the cover from top to bottom, it says January, February 2025, Southern Living, Dolly's Road Ahead, How the Queen of Country Keeps on Truckin', by Rick Bragg, B-R-A-G-G. Further near the bottom of the cover, it says 25 places to visit in 2025, plus Ivy Odom's Game Time Wings. All right, and we'll begin with, in every issue, we have Life at SL, and this is by the editor-in-chief of the magazine, and it begins, it has a quote at the top, and the quote is, never ignore your roots, your home, or your hair. Never ignore your roots, your home, or your hair. By Dolly Parton. And there's a photo. Here's about an eighth of the page, this photo, of Rick Bragg with Dolly Parton. Rick Bragg is wearing a navy blue blazer. They are outside. The background is some tall green, looks like maybe hollies, but they're blurred against a sky that's all blue. And Rick Bragg's wearing a navy blazer and a white shirt. He's got a beard and mustache. And he's smiling, and standing right in front of him and kind of against him, with her back against him, is Dolly Parton. And you can see these people from the waist up in this photo. And Dolly is wearing it's a denim bodice, but it has sleeves of different prints in different colors, panels of blue, orange, coffee color, and light lime green. And they're both smiling. In the fall of 2023, I drove up to Nashville to record an episode of Biscuits and Jam, my podcast about Southern food, music, and culture, with Dolly Parton. I'd interviewed her twice before, but never in person, so my heart rate was a little faster than usual. At the time, she had just released a new album called Rockstar, which consisted of 30 songs, including 9 originals. As if that weren't enough, She'd published a doorstopper of a book about her love of fashion with the cheeky title Behind the Seams, S-E-A-M-S, My Life in Rhinestones. I don't usually get nervous around celebrities, but there was something about meeting Dolly that seemed different. In one sense, I felt like I knew her because I've watched her movies and listened to her music for as long as I can remember. In another, it was a bit like going to see The Wizard of Oz. I pulled into a gated parking lot next to a nondescript building, pressed a buzzer at the door, and was led into a small waiting room. Before I could catch my breath, I was ushered back to the studio. "She's always on time," one of her handlers said, "and usually a little early." Then, suddenly, she was there, wearing a glittery hot pink ensemble and a big smile. She came right over, shook my hand, and made me feel as if I'd shown up at her front door. "I just love Southern living," she said. "What are we going to talk about?" Like a teenage fan, I handed her an orange Tennessee Volunteers hat and asked her to sign it. And she let out a big laugh that filled the room. "Of course I will," she said. Then she sat down for an interview that, despite the lights and cameras, felt like a conversation on her porch. We talked about Cathead biscuits, songwriting, her husband, Carl, her connection to Miley Cyrus, her imagination library, and singing Rocky Top at Knoxville's Neyland Stadium. She didn't have an ounce of pretense. And despite being one of the busiest people in the world, she acted like there was nowhere else she'd rather be. When I asked what it meant to her to be Southern, she replied, "Everything! I can't begin to imagine not being Southern, can you?" This past fall, editor-at-large Rick Bragg returned to that same Nashville studio to ask her about a flurry of new projects, including plans to celebrate the 40th season of Dollywood. Rick may have been a little nervous, too, but she put him at ease right away, cracking jokes and talking about pickup trucks and pocket knives. As you'll read in his story on page 56, A Song in Her Heart, Dolly is still that girl who grew up dirt poor in the Smoky Mountains, but she's also the hardest working woman in show business. She doesn't slow down for much, but she did for Southern living, and for that, we're grateful. And this is signed Sid Evans, Editor-in-Chief. And listeners, you could reach him at Sid, that's S as in Sam, ID, at southernliving.com. That's his email, Addie. And how about we get right to that article, A Song in Her Heart, by Rick Bragg. Photographs by David McClister. Dolly Parton talks to Rick Bragg about her hometown, the real Jolene, and the music that keeps her going. And listeners, this begins with a full-page photo, which is a copy of the photo. It's a copy of the setting on the front cover. But Dolly is now just sitting up straighter. She was laughing and tilting back on the front cover. And here she's just sitting up straighter, but still, the background is of some wooden structure that's blurred, and then a car, a classic car. You know what, listeners? I just realized something. She's sitting at the back. It's a pickup truck, and she is sitting on the bed of the pickup truck. So, excuse me, it's not a bench as I previously thought. This is the back of her pickup truck, and that's why the paint's peeling off. So she's sitting at the edge of the bed of an old pickup truck. It's light blue on the bottom. It's got a white roof. And the bed of the truck has paint that's peeling off, light blue paint that's peeling off, and it's got a Dollywood sticker, banner, on the bumper sticker on the bumper, and Dolly is sitting up straight, still wearing her denim outfit with the beaded butterflies and a guitar across her lap. And where she was just holding the guitar at its neck on the front cover, now she is in the motion of playing it. Those long, lacquered, red lacquered fingernails, left hand on the neck and right hand just above the base of the guitar there, body of the guitar there. And she's smiling, of course. All right. Now that we know where she's sitting, let's start our article. The photo shoot in her private studio outside Nashville seems designed to capture Dolly Parton's Tennessee mountain heart. But a heart is a hard thing to get just right. The set, a kind of country road vibe, is carefully crafted and meticulously lit by people who know how. She is one of the most photographed performers on earth, so there are no amateurs here. Her staff, including a creative director, a set designer, a film crew, and a whole slew of hair, makeup, and wardrobe perfectionists, move through the studio with purpose, friendly, but with one eye always on the clock. There is a firm schedule. Time is her hobgoblin. In the middle of it all, with lights winking off the chrome, sits a thing of rare and timeless beauty. A blue and white 1972 Ford F-100 pickup, framed by a little thicket of hauled-in shrubs and small trees. To make the scene look a little more authentic, the set designer spreads around some dirt. Finally, another rare and timeless beauty steps into the frame. Dolly, in high heels and bejeweled denim, comes in smiling, warm, and sparkling. Some people would say it's just the rhinestones that are hanging on for dear life, but I know it's more than that. The lights seem to love her. That's what the photographers say. I bet the sun and the moon do, too. Lord, I think, she's even prettier than the truck. She poses against the Ford, and a veteran magazine photographer goes to work, shooting at a rapid-fire pace. On a screen nearby, the crew can see the images flash by in real time, each one more striking than the last. Her creative director sings out after every frame, "Pretty, very pretty, gorgeous, beautiful, stunning." As I watch from the wings, just one more goofy fan, I think of a line from The New Yorker about how she is, quote, "loved for many reasons, the songwriting, the singing, the industry smarts, the cheeky cracks, the homey manner, the beauty, the verb, the hits." She is also loved for being loved, and loved transcendentally, unquote. I had to look up that last word. It means beyond common experience, thought, or belief. I reckon so. She will change outfits twice more, quickly, professionally. I don't know why, since she would look good standing in a mud hole draped in an old tarp. And in the lull, I think about the distance she has traveled from Sevier County to Nashville and wonder how much of it remains inside her, truly, after so much fame and time. Then someone hands her a guitar. It is supposed to be another prop, but she cups her lacquered fingernails around its neck, strikes a chord, and, unscripted, unplanned, begins to sing. I wonder if anyone else notices that she closes her eyes. I'm going down this road feeling bad. I'm going down this road feeling bad. I'm going down this road feeling bad, Lord, Lord. And I ain't gonna be treated this way. And there, in that trucked-in dirt, you know she hasn't forgotten a thing. Her voice, unlike any other, has ghosts and quivers in it and manages to haunt you and make you glad to be alive in the same beat. It is an old, old tune, echoing from a depression so deep that some people in these mountains just vanished inside. She could have picked another song, any of a thousand of her own hits that generations know by heart. But she chose one that her people sang over clotheslines, tobacco rows, and hog pens. Over the borrowed ground they worked until one day they could afford their own. I'm going where the water tastes like wine. I'm going where the water tastes like wine. I'm going where the water tastes like wine. And ain't gonna be treated this way. Forgive me, listeners. I don't think anyone should really attempt a Dolly Parton song. But, all right. My daddy shoveled. My daddy loved, least of all me. But, all right, back to our story, listeners. My daddy loved a blue truck, she says. And suddenly, the schedule doesn't mean quite as much. Women told him, Lee, that truck makes your eyes look so blue. And he always drove a blue one. So he always drove a blue one. She steals a few seconds more, remembering. The Parton men were famous for their blue eyes. And that, right there, is the real shine of it. You don't need any rubbing or polishing for that. It's just the way we talk down here, if you grow up a certain way. I may look artificial, she says after a while, but I'm totally real. And listeners, on the opposite page here, Dolly is photographed with a close-up portrait. This is really interesting because it's she is in that pickup truck, and she's leaning with her arms folded on the open window, on the door. The window's open. She's leaning out the window. This window frames her perfectly. The pickup truck, again, has distressed peeling paint, white at the roof and blue around on the door and frame of the window that's framing Dolly Parton. Background has that blurred wooden structure again. And Dolly's wearing her same denim bejeweled outfit with the beaded butterflies. And you can see close up that her eyelids, her eyeshadows, it's red and blue. It might be red, white, and blue. Kind of can't see. It's kind of faded, but it's red in the center. And on either side, it's white on one side, yes it is, and blue on the other, light. And, of course, the mascara, big, beautiful smile and lips. And, all right, back to our story. She's not some Nashville hipster whippersnapper from the suburbs with a neck tattoo and a pierced lip who's singing through her nose. She's lived her music. It isn't just an archive to draw from. When I was 5 or 6, I wrote a song about a corncob doll, she says. Mama wrote it down. She had a trunk full of them. It's all sacred to me. At one point in the photo shoot, she slides into the pickup and leans her golden hair out the window. I had to get rich, she says, to live like I'm poor again. But as she's getting back out, her pants catch on the seat. It's hard to slide in rhinestones, she explains. Her story has been told so many times, you would think we could just settle on one, the best, and not fool with it anymore. She has won 10 Grammys plus a Lifetime Achievement Award. She could use her platinum records for salad plates. Dolly's songs are the kind other superstars sing in the shower, like I Will Always Love You, Jolene, Here You Come Again, Two Doors Down, Coat of Many Colors, and Love is Like a Butterfly. She was in iconic films like Steel Magnolias and 9 to 5, harmonized with Linda Ronstadt and Emmylou Harris, and did a duet with Miss Piggy. She became a kind of Where's Waldo in popular culture. Everyone from drag queens in New York to sorority girls at the University of Alabama wants to be her. Not to mention, under the category of who knew, she was a behind-the-scenes producer of the wildly popular Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Her image, the very idea of her, remains inescapable, appearing in storylines in movies like Urban Cowboy and Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. Then, in 2023, she put out a rock album and covered, among other legends, the Rolling Stones. And just this fall, she released Smoky Mountain DNA, a return to the hollers and back roads that shaped her life and music. It's a kind of reaffirmation, proving that no matter how much Hollywood tinsel piles up around her, she knows the way home. But even as she approaches her 7th decade in show business, she is still building her legacy with new songs and projects and a commitment to philanthropy that is never ending. Recently, she and her businesses donated $2 million to Appalachian residents who were devastated by Hurricane Helene, putting her money where her heart is. "Those are my mountains," she said. "I just don't want to let these people down." Her great lasting project, Dollywood Theme Park, marks its 40th season this year and employs several thousand people with jobs they can build lives around. Dolly Parton's Imagination Library partners with local affiliates to give free books to children around the world. She could hop on a high horse and say it is intended to fight the illiteracy that held down so many of her people. Instead, she just says she loves the idea of it, of a child on some country road walking to a mailbox to find a book, a treasure of their very own, quote-unquote, addressed to them. So she made it real. "I just wanted to do good," she says. The fame paid for it all, but doesn't seem to torture her as it does so many other people who burn out or crumble. It just moves and slides around her the way a river does a rock. She has been married to the same man since, well, forever. She has never thrown a television off a hotel roof. If you type her name into the internet, you get her secret to good coleslaw. It's pickle juice. Or her trick for making the perfect baked potato instead of a scandal. Perhaps the most remarkable thing about this story is what some have described as her immunity. Her fame seems to be impervious to politics or class or any other snakes lurking in sociological rock piles. It would be a sin, somehow, to cast the first stone. If you ask if she is a feminist, she will tell you she is a woman who stands up for herself. When other songwriters sold the rights to their music, she refused, even turning down Elvis. Her empire is built on talent and beauty and backbone. No one can crack a joke about her she hasn't cracked herself. She hugs me when we meet. I blush for the first time in 40 years. "You're so little," I say, suavely. "All but my boobs and my hair," she replies. Her laugh is like a bell. As I gather my wits, I remember why I came. If you ask her what she's most proud of, she retreats again into the mountains, into a house with no running water, but a constant stream of songs that are so sad you shudder when you sing them and weep as you listen. She was born in 1946, the fourth of 12 children. She can't remember a time without music. It was her daddy who put his shoulder to the land and made their living. But it was her mama, Avie Lee, and her mama's people who would rather pick and sing than work, who showed her it was music that chased the dust from your mouth. And maybe, if you were any good, you could make a dollar singing about that hardship on the AM radio or black and white TV. And listeners, this has a full-page photo on the opposite page. We're not finished with the essay yet, but it is a blurred background of those tall green shrubbery against a blue sky. And Dolly is again sitting, and we don't see what she's sitting on here, but she's holding her guitar. Now it's standing up, and the left hand she has around the neck of the guitar has a very large blue jeweled ring on it. And she's out openly laughing, wearing the same outfit she was wearing in the other pictures. She's wearing slacks here and the denim bodice. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Southern Living Magazine. We really hope that you enjoyed it, and we hope that you'll listen next time. I am Joanna LaForgia for the North Carolina Reading Service. If you have any questions or comments about this or the North Carolina Reading Service, please call us at 919-832-5138. Once more, that number is 919-832-5138. This broadcast is intended for people who are blind and French impaired, and it's readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service and Southern Living. So long till next time.